You got your Bibles with you? If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to find it, and once you do, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. The Lord tells us, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you. In them I'm trying to arouse your sincere intention by reminding you that you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken through your apostles. First of all, you must understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lust and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by means of water, through which the world of that time was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. But do not ignore this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to glean from it and draw nigh unto thee, as you promised you'll draw nigh unto us. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives every day, that we may be more like you until your second coming, or until we meet you in death. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We come here to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and he says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you." This is 2 Peter. This is the second one that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, guided him to write. Second one, he says here, "I'm writing to you. In them I'm trying to arouse your sincere intention by reminding you that you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets." He says there, he's trying to arouse our sincere intention. He's wanting us to be sincere in how we live our lives here below, sincere in our intention. We need to be intentional in following the Lord, intentional in living for him and listening to the word of God. He's trying to get that in us. He was trying to do that for his audience here, and he's trying to do it for us to this very day. See, it wasn't just written to those back then in them days. It was written to us. Me and you, God put this book in the Bible for a reason, for us to study and show ourselves approved unto God. Lord, help us. He says here, "I'm trying to arouse your sincere intention by reminding you that you should remember the words spoken in the past." The Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given of God for instruction and reproof and to godliness, so we can live for him. He says here, "spoken in the past by the holy prophets." Let's remember what the Word of God says. "And the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken through your apostles." Both testaments from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Let's remember what God said to us. In verse 3 he says, "First of all, you must understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging in their own lust," scoffing around, not caring about the word of God, not caring about what God has to say, scoffing. It says they're indulging in their own lust. Lust of the flesh, the lust that lusteth against the spirit, that drives people away from the Lord, that pulls them away and falls back into perdition. The Bible tells us they'll be indulging in their own lust. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before us guides us by the Holy Spirit. Let's not be indulging in the lust of the world. Let's follow the Lord. Don't be scoffing, indulging in their own lust, and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Have you ever heard somebody say that they don't think the Lord Jesus is coming back because the world's just going on as it has all their life and all their grandparents' life, all the way back? Everything's just going around. The world's still turning as it's going. He says there, all things continue. They were saying this back then in Peter's day. They're saying it very well now. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, they deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago. We have the written word of God here. Jesus Christ is the living word. The Gospel of John tells us in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. By him all things were created. Jesus Christ created this world by the word of God. Heavens existed long ago. He sustains them. He sustains our existence. He holds us together. If the world, this earth, was just a little bit closer to the sun, just a few feet, it'd burn up and we'd all be dead. If it was just a few feet further away from the sun, we'd freeze to death. But God, in his infinite mercy and providence, put the world exactly where it needs to be. By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water, as it tells us in Genesis, and by means of water. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, the Bible tells us. God created this world. He sustains it. He holds it in place. Means of water. In verse 6, through which the world of that time was deluged with water. That a deluge, as we know, is a great flood. The flood when Noah was alive, a deluge with water, and perished. They ignore this fact that God created the heavens and the earth. If you'll turn with me, we're going to examine just a few verses back there in Genesis chapter 6. About this time, he says it was deluged with water. It was flooded with water. He says there in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Genesis, he says, when the people began to multiply on the face of the ground, the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw that they were fair, and they took wives for themselves of all that they chose. Sons of God, that's them fallen angels. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in mortals forever, for they are flesh. Their days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and were also afterward. When the sons of God went into the daughters of humans who bore children of them, they were the heroes that were of old, the warriors renowned. There's those old stories the pagans told about them. Wicked people. Wicked. Verse 5, it says, the Lord saw that their wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. Every inclination. Not just some of them. It says here, the Word of God says every inclination. Their heart was completely inclined. Every thought of the heart, only evil continually. It's people that say, Peter was telling us, world's just continued on and on as it has ever since it was created. It's not true. They deliberately forget in this time. It was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made humankind on the earth. And it grieved him to his heart. God was grieved. The Bible tells us right now, in the last days and all the days, living for the Lord, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We're in here sealed into redemption. We want to live for God, make God happy. We want the joy of the Lord. We don't want to grieve God. He says here, so the Lord said, I'll blot out from the earth the human beings I've created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. It says, these are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was righteous because he was right with God. He trusted in God. He put his faith in God, the Bible tells us in Hebrews. Blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. We can walk with God just as much as Noah. Even greater so, we have the Word of God printed for us to read and study and understand, and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Noah walked with God. Enoch, one of his ancestors, went straight to heaven. He never died. One of two people, Elijah, also did that. We can follow God just as closely. We're as close to God right now as we want to be. In these perilous times, just as is the day of Noah, we can live for God, no matter what's going on around us. In verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Doesn't that sound familiar? These days we live in today are filled with violence. Even the last days, violence everywhere. Violence on the TV. Violence in the movies. Violence in the street. We see cities burning down. People harming one another. People hate one another. Oh, Lord, help us. Violence all over us. Violence in the womb against the poor babies that hadn't even born yet. There's violence all around us. Wickedness. Violence. Just as the days of Noah, the earth was filled with violence. Lord, help us. God does not like that. God says, love is patient. Love is kind. We want to be loving. Show God's love. The Bible tells us, how can you love a God whom you haven't seen if you do not love a brother and sister whom you have seen? We should love to show God's love to everybody. And it says in verse 12, and God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And Noah said, God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. and I'm going to destroy them along the earth. And he tells them about making the ark. He commands them. Down there, verse 22, he said, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He followed the Lord. God told him how to build the ark. He gave the dimensions. Go back and read that. And he did as the Lord told him. We are to be doing as the Lord tells us. Lord, help us to do that. In these last days, these perilous, violent times, just as before, we're supposed to be living for God, following him. Lord, help us to do that. And if you'll turn with me to chapter 7 of Genesis, toward the end, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days, in 40 nights. On that very same day, Noah with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons entered the ark and all the animals. And down there in verse 15, then they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. Now, the latter part of this verse, last part, notice it says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the gates of the ark. He closed the door. Noah didn't say, well, that's everybody in my family. We're just going to close this thing up. No, the Lord shut the ark, it says. So too, when the coming of the Lord Jesus. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're reading about this day of Noah. It's a great theme throughout the Bible. The Lord shut them in. In Matthew chapter 24, the Bible tells us. In verse 36, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, just as we were talking about in Peter, he was saying, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, just living life, going on about, just as Peter said people will be doing in the last days. And we look around, they sure are, going about life as if nothing's going on, going about life as if they're following that lie of the world's just continued since the beginning of time and will always continue. It won't, the Bible tells us. For in those days before the flood and until the day Noah entered the ark, verse 39, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. Why didn't they know? Because they didn't care to know. They didn't want to know. They were too busy looking around, following the ways of the world instead of looking to God, seeking the Lord. The Bible tells us, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Knocking, the door will be open to you. Seek and you shall find. These are promises of the Scripture. If someone anywhere in the world look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want to know you, God will send them somebody to show them the way. He'll send us one of us, one of his children, to show him the way. He's revealed himself. Romans chapter 1 speaks of natural revelation. Anybody on the entire world can look around and say, there's a God out there. And they seek him, and he will be found to them. They will seek him. He says there, Noah entered the ark. In verse 39, they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will the coming of the Son of Man be. How many people was on that ark? There was eight people. And it said of two of all the animals, eight people in the entire world were the only ones saved. What a sad thing. The ark doors were wide open. Those people could have went in there, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe the flood was coming. Jesus says, for as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. God's standard does not change only because few are the ones that are going to go to it. Only because few are the ones that's going to follow him. What a sad thing. Jesus says, straight is the way and narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness. And few will find it, but broad is the way, he told us earlier in that verse, that leads to destruction, and many will be there. Lord, help us to be his witness. Because God didn't create hell for people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels to be cast into, as Revelation talks about. But the sad thing is many will go to that place because they rejected Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to show his love and truth around us. He says here they knew nothing. So too will the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 40, and then two will be left in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. We don't know what day. People have tried to predict it. You'll see billboards sometimes. Jesus is coming back on March the 25th, such and such year. No, he's not. He'll come back when he says he comes back. No man knoweth, he says here. Keep awake. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. If someone called you and said, I'm breaking your house at 11:30 tonight, you'd know what time to wait. Well, if they said, I'm just going to break into your house at night, you'd stay up all night, waking, watching. When are they going to come in that window? Jesus is saying, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. We know Jesus is coming. Let's stay awake, not sleeping, not falling away, and would have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. He's coming. Keep awake, therefore, he bids us, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. We don't know what day the Lord's coming. We just know he's coming. So we don't have to know the day. But praise God, we'll be there with him. Are you going to be there with him on that great and glorious day when all the saints of past and present are together with the Lord? This tragedy is so many people won't be there because they choose not to be there. Lord, help us. We want to be instruments of his grace to bring others to his fold by the Holy Spirit and him alone. And he says here, back in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, they deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water by means of water, through which the world of that time was deluged with water and perished, just as we just read about. Verse 7, but by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire. Excuse me. Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. The first world back there was deluged with water. It was flooded with water and destroyed. And the second time, it will be destroyed with fire. We remember God placed his bow in the sky to remind us that he'll never again flood the world, that he's faithful to his promises. He never has flooded the world like that. He never will, because God stands on his word. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, this book will never fail. God's word never fails. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. The heaven, it'll be gone one day. We'll have a new heaven. The earth will be gone one day. We'll have a new earth. New heaven, new earth. Revelation 21 tells us all about it. It gives us the dimensions of it even. It's a glorious place. We can't even begin to understand how glorious it is. Heaven and earth themselves will be gone someday. But God's word never fails. We'll live in the new heavens and new earth with him. Are you going to that place? Lord, help us. He says here, they deliberately ignore that. He says, there though which the world of that time was deluged with water and perished, but by the same word the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire. By the same word it will happen. Being kept until the day of judgment, destruction of the godless. Being kept. God's holding this world together. He's keeping it in place. He's keeping it in place. Why is it he's tarried so long before he comes back and time is no more? Why is he tarried? It's out of mercy. More people to come. If the Lord Jesus would have came before I was saved, I wouldn't be in heaven. The Lord Jesus came before so many people got saved, we wouldn't be there. God tarries his coming out of mercy to bring others into his fold. One of these days, the tarrying will be through. He says that the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. What a sad, sad thing. Verse 8, but do not ignore this one fact, beloved. We're beloved of God. God says you are beloved. He loves you. He's addressing this letter to you. Do not ignore this fact, beloved. He loves you. God loves everybody. He didn't want anybody to be destroyed as the godless. He didn't want that. He wants everybody in heaven. But he's given everybody that free choice to accept it or reject it. He says, you're beloved. You're beloved of God. Remember that. Don't be lied to by Satan, who will say you're worthless and no good, no count. God's redeemed you. If you've accepted Jesus as Savior, you are redeemed. The old things are passed away, and the new have begun. You are beloved, he says here. That which the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. It's hard to imagine God's standard of time. It's nothing like our standard. Our standard's slower. Our standard can be faster. It goes back and forth. It changes with different calendars, but God's standard is far beyond time. He sees all things. 1,000 years is like a day to him. It's nothing. There's nothing too big or too small to bring to God. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. It's God so big that even a day is like 1,000 years to him. You can trust him with everything in your life. Bring it to him. It says here in verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness. He's not slow about his promises. He doesn't forget his promises, as some count for it. He's not, as the King James says, the Lord is not slack. He's not slacking in what he gives us and what he says to us. No, he's faithful. Let's be faithful to him. Lord, help us. He says here, but is patient with you. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? He's the most patient one. We ought to be patient with one another. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you personally. He's patient with those around us. He's patient with this world, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He's not wanting anybody to perish. Like I said, Jesus said that Hell was not created for people to go to. People go there because they reject God. He says here, He's patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He's made a way for me, for you, for every person ever born to come to repentance, to come to faith in Him. He's made a way, and the Lord promises that. He'll deal with us each different ways, but it's always through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. That's where God dealt with the sins of the world, with the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. It was on the cross of Calvary. We keep crosses. We got this beautiful brass-colored one right here. We got beautiful crosses all over the place. It's a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us. That was our redemption, the cross of Calvary. A lot of people want to do away with the cross because they want to do away with redemption and salvation. There's no one that ever goes to heaven except by the cross and faith in Him. There's nobody that ever gets right with God and has fellowship except by the cross. It's by the cross that we're saved. It's by the cross we're sanctified. That's how God took our sins upon Himself. Not only that, He gave us His righteousness by the cross. Lord, help us. He says here, but all to come to repentance. He made a way. He stretched out His hands and said, "This is finished, completely finished. The work in redemption is finished. I can't earn salvation and neither can you. It is finished." We follow Him and put our faith in Him and we receive the gift. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, the Bible tells us. And then we can live for Him by faith. He says here, but all come to repentance. He's made a way. Have you put your faith in Him? Have you received repentance? Repentance, what is that? It's to turn from sin toward God. Reject the old way. Be born again. He says here in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, just as Christ told us there in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, as we just read. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a loud voice. If you read some of the Old Testament prophets, Amos, they speak of the children of Israel would talk about the day of the Lord as a day when God's just going to come down and destroy their enemies and set up a kingdom right there and be done for. He said, how dare you look for that day, He told them back in the Old Testament. How could you look for that day when you're living so wicked? The day of the Lord would not be joyous for them, but it would be a terrible, painful day because they rejected God's way. To this very day, people reject God's way and just give lip service for the Lord, but their hearts far from Him. Let's give our hearts to Him, follow Him with all we've got. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud voice. Heavens will be gone. Oh, see the heavens. It speaks of the different heavens in the Bible. We look out here and we see the first heaven, the beautiful sky. It'll be gone all the way up. And it'll be recreated, redeemed. Because where did sin start? It started in the old heaven when Satan and his angels rebelled. They'll be cast into the fiery lake of fire, the fiery pit, along with hell and all destruction. And God will redeem creation, just as He's redeemed us. The Bible speaks of us as the first fruits in Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the new creation. We are the new creation living in the old creation right now. We're living in the old world that God created. And one of these days, the world will be redeemed, recreated. Revelation 21 tells us how this will take place. It'll be after this one is destroyed with fire. We'll be with the Lord as all this takes place. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a loud voice. And notice here, and the elements will dissolve with fire. Have you ever saw a rock burn? I never have. They will in that day. That'll be terrible. The elements will dissolve with fire. Gold will burn away. These very elements, iron, all these things will be dissolved with fire, just as sugar dissolves in water. This world's passing away. Why would we heap our treasures on this world? When we die, we're done with this world anyways. It's going to be burned up some days. It's a beautiful world God created. The new one's going to be even better. It's a wonderful place God gives us to live. I can look out this door here and see those beautiful fields God created. He's allowing us to live in this wonderful, gorgeous place. One of these days, it's going to pass away. This is temporary. This is our temporary home. We're just passing through this place. The Bible over and over, 1 Peter talks about us living on a pilgrimage through this world. This isn't my home. It's not yours either. We're just hanging out here for just a little while until we go home to be with the Lord. But when we're on a trip, on a pilgrimage, what is a pilgrimage? It's a trip with a purpose, a religious purpose. They chose that word for a reason over there in the first epistle of Peter. We're on a pilgrimage in this world for a reason. It's a religious trip for a reason. We're down here below to serve the Lord, to follow Him, and show His love to those around us. The day of the Lord's coming. We don't know when. Now, we don't need to sit down here and look at the sky and start taking tallies and looking at the stars. That one's a little darker. Some people will get into all that, trying to predict it. You'll never predict it. God said you won't. Only God the Father knows when it's going to happen. We got to trust Him, live down here below everything. We're not looking for any signs and wonders in the sky. We're not looking for any prophecies to be fulfilled. Everything's fulfilled for the Lord to come back. He could come back this morning, and we'd be with Him for all eternity. We just sit here, and we wait and live for Him with everything we got. Lord, help us do that. Because He says here, it will pass away with a loud noise. It's not going to be secret. And the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Notice here it says disclosed. It doesn't just say dissolved. It will be disclosed. Every idle word, the Bible tells us. Every idle word will be brought forth. All time in history, everybody. Judgment Day, right before. Revelation 14 talks about the reaping day. The Son of Man sends forth His sickle, and the earth is reaped. He reaps His children out. And then it sent an angel, thrust forth its sickle. The earth was reaped a second time, and it was thrown into the great winepress of the wrath of God. What a sad thing. God wants everybody in the first harvest, the first fruits, when He Himself will call His children home. Are you with Him? Is your faith in Him? He says here, everything done on it will be disclosed. This isn't a halfway maybe. No, this is what's going to happen. You can mark it down. You can live your life on it. You can die on it. This is the Word of God. Verse 11, since all these things, what are we going to do about it? He tells us what's going to happen with this world. He tells us it's going to be dissolved. Everything done on it will be disclosed. Just as the days of Noah, you don't know when it's going to happen. You just know what's going to take place. Mark it down. Verse 11, what's it say? What are we going to do about it? Since all these things are to be dissolved. If this world's going to be dissolved like sugar and water in this way, and He tells us how it's going to happen, it's amazing the detail God gives us. What sort of persons ought you to be leading in lives of holiness and godliness? If we know, do you believe the Word of God? We can ask ourselves this. A lot of times you can ask someone, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yes, sir, I do. But their life doesn't show it and reflect it. As we, as God's children, we say, I believe this book right here is the Word of the living God, that God wrote this thing by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the inspiration, 66 books, every verse, the Word of the living God. If we believe that, then we need to change how we live so often. Verse 11, since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, if this is what God's telling us is going to happen, then what are we going to do? What sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness? If this is what's going to happen in this place, and all this around us, what difference is that going to make in our lives? He says there, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading? We ought to be leading others to Christ by how we live with our lips. If we just do with our lips and our lives are far from Him, well, nobody's going to come to God because they'll just say it's all fake. And it is fake in your life if there's no difference in your life. If you're born again, the old things are passed away. You're a new creation. Now, there's a power of sanctification. It's a process. It takes time. We ought to be helping one another, not throwing each other away when we make mistakes. Growing in godliness, growing grace, the Bible tells us. That's what the end of this chapter states. But we ought to be seeking holiness and godliness. Are you seeking? Are you even trying? Or your heart far from God? What's he say here? Lives of holiness. This is what our lives are to be as Christians. Holiness and godliness. The first definition of holiness is the state of living holy. Well, that makes sense. What is holy? It's devoted entirely to the deity, or the work of the deity. That's the definition Webster gives for holy. And what the truth is, it's not just any deity. It's the Lord Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the living God. He says here, holiness is defined as purity or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, sanctity, it says. Purity or integrity of moral character. How do we do that? How can we live in holiness? By the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. God has given you, He's given me everything we need to follow Him. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We've got everything we need to live in holiness. We just got to seek Him and we will find Him. Grow in grace. Follow Him. Listen to the Word. People often say, well, life doesn't come with an instruction book. Yes, it does. It's called the Holy Bible, God's Word. He gives us what to do. And Lord, help us to do that. He said, purity or integrity of moral character. Freedom from sin is that next definition of holiness. Are you free from sin? Is there a sin that doth so easily beset you? Lord, help us all. We give it to God. We seek Him and find Him. Seek deliverance from the Word of God, by the Word of God, through the cross of Calvary and the blood of the Lamb. And the last one was sanctity. That's holiness. We want to be holiness. It's to be set apart, sanctified for God. We need to go on to sanctification. Don't just hang with justification. We want to go on with sanctification, growing in grace, following Him, drawing closer to God today than we was yesterday and was last week. And He gives us godliness. Godliness is defined by the dictionary a religious life, not religious as we use it nowadays. A lot of times people use religion as outward earning salvation. The old way, what religion really means, as James says, pure religion, it is the result of our justification, the result of us putting our faith in God. It's what we do out of love for God, a careful observance of the laws of God, it says, and the performance of religious duty, that's godliness, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands. Love and reverence for God. We live holiness and godliness and seek Him because we love Him. If you love somebody, you want to know more about them. You want to know about them. You want to seek them. Find more. Draw closer to them. If you love God, we want to draw nigh to Him. In short, it's defined as Christian obedience. 1 Timothy 4:8, the latter part says, godliness is valuable in every way. Do you want your life changed at work, at home, everywhere? Seek godliness. Seek His ways. It's all throughout the Bible. Daniel, it says, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor the king's wine, as people are defiled all over the place in this world. But Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. He's about 15-year-old. He said, I'm not going to defile myself with the portion of the king's wine and the wickedness of the pagan world. Daniel was living on exile in Babylon. It's a pagan as it gets. We live in a pagan society so often. In this world down here below, we can purpose in our hearts to be holy and godly, and God will use us for His glory as He did Daniel. He did the same thing for old Joseph back in Genesis, in the latter part of that book. He talks about how he sought the Lord. He seeked the Lord. He lived for the Lord. No matter what everybody thought around him, he was going to serve the Lord. When they threw him in jail, he knew he was innocent. He served the Lord, and God used him. God says He brought favor. He gave him favor in the sight of Pharaoh, just as He gave old Daniel favor in the sight of Nebuchadnezzar and all those kings. He will give you favor in this world to do His will in His way. Now, sometimes that favor takes different forms. Remember, Joseph was thrown in prison for a little while. Sometimes the favor is going this way and that way. Sometimes it may not look as favor in our eyes, but if we'll trust God, we'll know, as He promises in the book of Romans, that He works all things for the good of those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. He works everything. 100%, we can trust Him. The Lord that holds heaven and earth, you can trust Him. Holiness and godliness, let's do that. Let's live set apart for God. Let's have obedience and being like Him. Christians is what we're called. We need to be like Christ. Help us to do that, Lord. In verse 12, He says, waiting for, as we're living, since this world's going to be dissolved, we ought to be leading lives of holiness and godliness. Verse 12 says, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. We know God's coming one of these days, so we need to be waiting for it and knowing it's going to come. But we don't need to just sit down here on the bench and say, well, come on, Lord, I'm ready, and sit around. But God wants us to be active. Over and over, the Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's active. Actively serving the Lord. Social holiness, as John Wesley talked about. Coming to church and showing God's love to those around us. He says here, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. Verse 13, but in accordance with His promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. We wait for this new heaven and new earth where righteousness. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21 and 22 about this place. There'll be no weeping, nor sorrow, nor pining there. There'll be no sin, no deceit, no wickedness, because that's all gone away with forevermore. There'll be no darkness there, for God Himself is the light. Verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by Him at peace. When God comes back, what will He find you? If He found you this morning, if Jesus came back right now, what's He going to find in your heart? He's looking for, be found at peace, without spot or blemish. One of these days, He'll come back. If He came back last night, what would He have found in your heart? What would He have found in your life? He says, strive. Notice here, it's a process. Not going to happen overnight. Every day, take seeking the Lord, following Him, through love with Him. Strive to be found by Him at peace. How do we get peace? The peace that passeth all understanding, that can guard our hearts and our minds. It's by faith in Him every day, without spot or blemish. For religion, the Bible talks about James, you read on down, It says is to be keep your garments unspotted by the world. A lot of times in baptism, we wear those pretty white robes. That represents the robes that God's going to give us in heaven. Pure white. That's like we're given that. Spiritually, we're wearing those white robes everywhere around us. We got to be careful where we walk in our lives. If I go walk in the mud hole in the ditch, I'm going to get my robe all spotted. But if I walk up on a neat paved path, it won't be filthy. So too in our lives. Let's keep our spirit unspotted by walking with God on His way. He says here, strive to be found at peace. We get peace from God. Can you lay down and have peace without spot or blemish? In verse 15, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. He's so patient to all those around us. Praise God. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant unstable twist their own destruction, as they do to the other scriptures. He says there, read Paul's letters. Sometimes they're hard to understand, and people will twist them, but stay close to God and the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability. They're trying all over. The devil's trying. People's trying. We can look at it. Every denomination's having an issue with it, of rejecting the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, for the unstable sifting sands of the world. God's telling us, this is what's going to happen. Let's live in holiness and godliness. Since you are forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability. We are standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and standing on His promises. Don't lose stability by going off on the other ways. And our final command in this chapter, verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's grow in grace every day. He's given us what we need to grow. He's given us warnings. He's given us promises. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His Word. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But to love someone more deeply, we must know about them. We do that by the Word of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. His wonderful ending verse, to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. To Him be the glory. Let's live our lives to bring Him glory and show His love to those around us. As He says here, we're hastening, we're waiting until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all bow our heads. Take a moment and talk to the Lord. Examine your life. As I say often, the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If you go ahead and look at your life with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, is there something between you and God? The Bible says iniquity will place a wall between you and Heavenly Father. Are you starting to get on the sifting sands of instability? Take a moment, examine your life, and go to God in faith and trust Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Bless us all as Your children. We ask to heed these warnings of Your Scriptures, Lord, and to stand on Your promises. Lord, we know You're with us wherever we go, and Your Holy Spirit's there to guide us. Help us by that Spirit to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit, Lord. And to love and obey You everywhere we go. Convict us when we fall short of Your glory. When we fall short and start going down the path of sin. Convict our hearts, Lord, and bring us back to Your fold every day. As Your psalm says, search us, O God, know our hearts, and try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in Thy way everlasting, Lord, we thank You. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people gathered here together, Lord. Help us as we depart from this place to depart with Your peace in our hearts, to love and serve You, in faith and obedience. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ and the cross, for that great love, more love than we can ever fathom. It's so deep that we can never run dry in that well. Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. Help us to live in it and live by it. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God for his word. If you'll stand with me. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. God bless you all. It's a blessing to see you.
Leadership to get that.